This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is... you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What's going on, people? Welcome to the live match reaction. Palace 1, Brighton 1. We managed to... maybe 2 points, depending on how you view it, or gain a point. Of course, we're going to be opening up the lines as well. I'm joined by Patrick here, where you can join in and have your say. If you're watching on replay, make sure to hit the like button. Let's try and get over 150 likes and subscribe if you're new here as well. We'll be going through the live comment section as usual. But, you know, before we get started and I give my thoughts, I want to hand it over to Patrick. Patrick, interesting. In your name, you've got Patrick Brackett Hodgson out. I mean, what do you make of that game? I thought it was a game of two halves. First half, we were the better side.
That's how I feel.
Second
painful
half,
to watch.
Yeah, you could say it was painful to watch, but I think it's more on the individuals. And maybe you can combine that with tactics. I think certain players let us down when they came on. But for you, how do you assess the game?
I thought the lineup was very negative. I mean, to set up a midfield of Richard, Lerma and Hughes, you're clearly playing for a draw, which we got. So I'm sure Hodgson, I watched a post-match. He didn't seem upset at the 1-1. We've got one win in 11D. This can't go on. I mean, I don't understand why he's always so negative, but I do. That's how he sets up. We got the goal. Credit to Richards. Credit to Olise. Credit to IU for creating that goal. We're up 1-0, and we have chances to go up 2-0. Eze misses two great chances, but we just kept dropping off more and more. And more, and the goal by Brighton was inevitable. And this is not even right now a top Brighton side. It's not. I watched the Zerbi after the game. They have 9 injured players, 9, and we at home had 35% possession. We had like 12 shots. Again, we didn't have first shot to the 40th minute. We had 12 shots. He's got to go, man. This is just inevitable. Listen, these last 2 points, which again are going to be important in a big picture for the club. I'll paper him with the cracks, man. He's got to go. This negative football, man. I can't take it anymore. Again, he brought on Ozo. You made the point. Yes, that's a positive. He brought on Eze. He still could have brought on Hamada and Farnsworth for me and gone for it. But again, he doesn't want to take the chance. He played for a draw and he got the draw. I'm sure he's happy. But like I said, under other managers, 1-11 gets you sacked. He's still around. So at some point, he'll be gone.
So you mentioned the subs. I mean, what subs were... So, Hamada and Francois for who? Because I personally, how would the midfield work then?
So, again, he brought on... I know he mentioned during the post-match, he took off Ayew because he's on 4 yellow cards. They want to get him a 5th. Fine. Why put Eze out wide? Francois should go out wide. So, what I would have done is I would have taken off Lerma, who's coming off for injury, and I would have taken off Richards. And my midfield, he would have been... I know it's a hole in the midfield. It's going to be Ahamada, Eze, and Ozo. That's what I would have done. Because that midfield three that we started with, honestly, when you saw it, were you happy with that midfield three that started? That's not even a championship midfield three. I like Lerma, and I like Richard, who set up the goal, but that's not a Premier League.
But that midfield three worked in the first half, no?
How did it work? We got a lucky goal. How did it work?
Because we would have been excited in the first half. Were we not?
I think we got lucky to get the goal because we finally decided to press, and that's how we caused the goal. I don't think we were better side in the first half.
Well, I don't think it was lucky. I mean, If you look at the first half stats, XG, Brighton had 0.19. We had one expected goals. And I think that was a very good opportunity that we created. We had seven shots. They only had four in first half. We had three on target. They had two. I don't think it was lucky. I thought we were the better side in first half.
What were the possession stats, Steve?
Yeah, it's not all about possession. It's about what you do with the ball.
And you only gave me the stats that showed that Palace... Didn't Ryan have like 60% possession for us all?
Okay, but 60% possession, but I only had 0.19 expected goals, which is basically nothing, and we had one. So it's about what you do with the possession. Everton don't dominate possession. It's about what you do with it. Games are not won by possession. If games were won by possession, under Vieira, we would go pretty much unbeaten because we kept the ball. That was not the issue. It's about scoring goals as well. And the first half, we did create chances, and it did work with that midfield three. For me, I think when you look at the bigger picture, I don't think it was that midfield three that cost us. I know it's not the most exciting on paper. I think it was the second half substitutions, and some of these players let us down. Some of these players that I thought would do better. And I'm not talking about Ozil, I'm talking about Eze. I think the game changed when Ayew went off the pitch and Eze came on. I think you can even blame him for the goal as well, for that poor clearance. He should have done better with chance. I thought Eze was really bad. And I think that's what cost us today, not the midfield three. I think we lost everything when Eze came on, don't you think?
All right. I'm looking at my notes, right? So you're talking about how we were better in the first half, right? In the first half, Adrina was free at the back post from an Igor switch, and Henderson made a great save on the 18th minute. On the 35th minute, we had a great opportunity when there was a chaos in the box. Ayew and Mateta, at least they had a little thing and they almost scored. 39th minute, Pascal Gross had a great shot on goal that was saved well by Henderson. Hinshelwood in the 44th minute had a free header on the back post and he missed it for Brighton. And then right after that, we counted and got the goal. So you're saying there were no chances for Brighton. They had at least three good chances, okay?
I don't think they had three good shots. Brighton in first half didn't really scare us.
I just read them to you. I
don't remember any moment in first half that was scary. I thought we had the better chances in the first half.
Well, we definitely had the best one because we scored the goal, correct? But I'm saying you... Okay, let's get off that point.
You can make the argument that they are better. But in first half, I think we were fine. Like, we won the ball high up the pitch as well. That's how we scored the goal. It wasn't like we were sitting back, even though they kept possession.
We only pressed that one time. We pressed that one. That was Richards, our center defensive midfielder, that was pressing. We didn't press the whole game. I remember the point when the fans were saying to Mateta wasn't pressing in the beginning.
Let me read out the stats. So in the second half, we only had 28% possession in comparison to 40% in the first half, and Brighton had 72%. I think it's a second half performance that I saw, and that's when Brighton scored. I don't think you can really complain in the first half. I thought first half we got pretty much right. In the second half, why did we drop off so much? Even in first half, you were saying that we didn't keep the ball, but in the second half, it was really bad. And honestly, I'm here. I'm just like, it is what it is. I'm just tired of it. It's boring. It is boring. But what do you think we do?
On that, the boring part, we agree. I'm not even gonna argue that first half point. My point was though, getting to the second half is that we had the opportunity to take the game to Brighton. And you're right, Eze was not good. He had two chances. Mateta put him in for a great chance that he missed. On the ensuing corner kick, he had a great shot that he put wide. But having said that, in the second half, for me, you know you need a second goal. Why not bring on more attacking players? Yes, he brought on Eze. You are correct. He could have still brought off either. All right, let's not say both Lerma and Richard. Take off one of them. All right, take up one of them and bring on Ahamada at least to make it give us a more mobile midfield. And again, for me, put Eze in the middle. If Eze's playing wide, we all have seen that in the past. He's not as effective playing as a wide player. Am I right or am I wrong? What do you think?
Yeah, he's playing in the middle. But
and he played again.
Brought on Eze whilst 1-0 up, and also brought on Ozo as well. I think that was biggest surprise to me in the first place. Normally, he wouldn't make substitutions like that. Normally, it would be a case of waiting until we concede a goal and then he makes it. But he was kind of like proactive in his approach rather than reactive, which was positive. But I think it was a case of when Ayew came off and when Eze came on, it's not even Ozil. When Eze came on, we lost it, man. We lost it. I just feel like that substitution killed us. And you look at Eze, the chance that he had, he should have finished it. Not only that, the goal that we conceded is a poor clearance. And I think that's where the game changed. So, yes, we can complain about the subs and maybe you could have bought more attacking subs, but you have to find a balance. And I don't think the subs were that bad. I think it's more the individuals. do you think it was a tactics or individuals, Patrick, in the second half?
No, I'll say again. I don't think the subs were bad. I think you need to make at least one. I'm going to argue two. We can argue all night. I would say you had to make at least one more sub. But having said that, the tactics at 1-0 to sit back, you know what's going to happen then. You know if you sit back against any good team, they're going to score. And we kept dropping lower and lower and lower. And eventually they were going to score. I mean, I think the last 15 minutes, they must have been in our attacking third for 80% of that time. It was ridiculous. So the tactics for me were poor. But again, it wasn't poor because Hodgson didn't want to win the match. He was happy with a draw.
But then again, of course, you don't see this on the side on the TV, but on the sideline, Ray Lewinson, for the last 15, 20 minutes, he was telling players, get up the pitch, get up the pitch, get up the pitch.
Okay.
And of course, we didn't see that, but he was screaming it. I could see his hand gesture. He was screaming it, screaming it, screaming it. What else can we do if the players are not getting... Ray Lewinson can't jump on a pitch and literally drag them up the pitch. Do you think it's a case of fatigue then? Because from the management, maybe not from Roy, but from Ray, it was a case of we were sitting too deep. I think he noticed that as well. And it was clear as daylight, like to the fans, also to the management. So is it a case of fatigue on the players? Why couldn't they carry the instructions? Because I was seeing the management, I was seeing the coaching staff telling them to get up.
I have no idea. Listen, I've seen enough of the Hodgson's tactics to know that we constantly drop off deep when we're up a goal or when it's 1-1. I've seen it a million times before. So you're telling me that he told to push up. I'm not saying he wasn't, but the fact that I've seen us drop off many, many times in a situation before against even teams like Luton. So I don't know what to tell you.
Lots of last minute goals. Yeah, like it's not really surprising. We can see that's why I'm like. I guess the point against Brighton is decent, but it's just like what's the point? It's another game we didn't win. Do you get it? Like it's nice picking up points against City, but we need to win at some point. And I'm just getting boring. But then again, like I thought the subs were surprising. I thought it was the individuals and maybe tactics as well. But I think it's more the individuals that let us down. Eze, why don't you clear the ball? Like why doesn't he clear the ball? Why does he half-hearted kick back to Brighton? Why don't you boot up?
Maybe he's injured.
Like he had a few like key moments to see when he came on that were howlers. The chance that Mateta gave him the ball, you have to be finishing that. Hit on target. Why is he taking 3-4 touches before taking a shot? Like it just you get it. Like when he came on, I thought he ruined the game when he came on. I thought we were fine with Ayew. I'm surprised that Ayew even got subbed off. Did he get injured?
I just told you. I watched the post match. Yeah, Hodgson said that he's on 4 yellows. He didn't want to get a 5th yellow.
Oh, okay, okay. So it's a case of fair enough. But yeah, like I'm surprised. I think if he wasn't on 4 yellows, there's no way that Ayew's coming off the pitch. You need, even though lots of people get out to Ayew, you need players like Ayew in this game, not because he scored a goal, but he runs around 90 minutes chasing back, covering the spaces. And I think when we let go of Ayew and put Eze out wide, it just pushed us further and further back.
Question, like, Dean.
How many touches did Eze have on the ball? Like, how many? Let me try to get up right now.
I think he had 26 touches.
What did he do with them 26 touches?
He had 16 touches.
16 touches. 16 touches in 20 minutes.
In 20
like,
minutes.
Like, you meant to get on the ball and carry it, but he done the opposite. He got on the ball and gave it away. That's what
Here's
thought,
my
like.
Question. I know it's what do you call it? Hindsight. What would you think? What would you think if he not brought Eze on instead put on Franca at wide left? What would you thought about that sub as a sub?
I'm just saying, because of how well he played. There's no way he's gonna bring on Franca. There's no way he's gonna bring on Franca. You say that,
but he brought Franca on before Eze against City. Away.
Yeah, but in that City game, it was like last ditch. We're winning 1-0 in this game. It's City game, we're already 2-0 down. There's nothing really left to lose. So that's why I think he brought him
on.
In this game, it's different.
He
1-0 up against Bayern at home.
No, he bought France 1-2-1. It was 2-1 France, not 2-0. It was 2-1 he bought France 1-2-0.
Yeah, but you were chasing a game. You get it. In this one, we're trying to defend for the lead. I just don't see him bringing on. I just don't see him making an attacking substitution, like taking that much risk in terms of bringing on France.
And that's the issue for me, right? Why not bring on France? He's coming off playing a great game. Eze is just he's coming off an injury.
Hindsight's a great thing. Was he upset?
No. Before the game, though, I heard that Eze isn't still 100% fit. I heard someone.
Yeah, but it's like the last half an hour of the game.
What do you mean?
So he probably fit to play half an hour of the game. So I wasn't really too upset when Eze came on. I'm more upset on Eze's performance rather than him coming on.
I'm not saying I was upset him coming on. I'm just saying that again. I'm going back to what I heard pre-match that there were issues with Eze's fitness. If he's not 100% fit, why not bring on someone who is fit to play there instead of putting one out of position for the United Greens out of position and he's 100% fit? Why not bring on Francis then? Is my point. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My point is, I know that Roy wouldn't do that. I know what you're saying, but that's another frustration I have with him, that he won't do that, you know? That would be unexpected and would be...
Yeah, for example, yes, I would have brought on... I'll be honest, Ozil came on, and I don't think Ozil was bad at all, but I would have brought on Eze for Hughes, and then maybe you can have that France option after. Like, I would have... It would have made sense, Eze for Hughes instead of Ozil.
That's not a bad shout. That's through the middle.
Yeah, let's bring on some of the guests. Let's bring on Henry first, who I think is travelling back from the game. Henry, 1-0. Against Brighton, what did you make of it?
You know what? I've seen this movie before, guys, and I'm sick of watching it. I mean, we are so predictable. Like, the first half and the second half was just so different, but it's like what Patrick just said. When you sit back that much, eventually you're going to concede, and I could see it coming. I could see we were lucky. Brighton missed a few chances. In fact, we were lucky to last as long as we did 1-0 up. And for me, it just shows that Roy just has no plan B. This is a perfect example of no tactical versatility because it's just a classic example of we go from 1-0 looking like we're going to win the game, but do we have a plan if they equalize? No. So when we get to 1-1, suddenly we've gone from the verge of winning a game to suddenly clinging on for a point for dear life. Like, that is not good enough because you need to have some sort of like alternative plan in your thinking. And it's just, I'm just really, really fed up of Roy's. I mean, I thought Roy's substitutions were okay, but I thought he took a bit too long to bring Eze on. I thought Ozo was class when he came on, to be fair. I want to point out Klein because I thought Klein had an excellent time dealing with Matoma on that far side. But, I mean, yeah, we defended really well. We worked really hard. Paul Mateta had another good game as well. But, I mean, how many times have we seen this, man? How many times have we seen this? And it's Groundhog Day. It's just Groundhog Day. And until Roy goes, we're just going to have to deal with this style of football. Patrick's smiling. He knows what I'm thinking about. We're just going to have to deal with this for the rest of the season, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm done, Henry. I can't deal with
it. What do you make of the first half in comparison to the second half? Because in the first half, me personally, I don't think it was that bad. I thought in the first half, we would have been seen.
No. Don't get me wrong. I thought we were fantastic first half. I thought we were all over them. In fact, I thought we could have even been 2-3 up. But start the second half with intention to get that second goal. Don't just sit back and hold on a 1-0, because that's not going to work, man. It's not going to work. Like, his tactics are just out. I mean, I swear we've got like 3 or 4 1-1 draws with Brighton now. And every single time you go, not every single time, but quite often, I seem to remember, we go 1-0 up and then we just heart it. Like, it's just so predictable. It's so predictable. It's ridiculous. I mean,
What about the positives today? I did see a few positives, and that was Mateta in particular. I thought his hold-up play was very good. I think the problem with him is that in the second half, he was a bit gassed out and maybe should be stopped off. But then when you don't have a striker, then and I think that didn't help us as well. There's not just Eze, but yeah, I thought Mateta actually very good hold-up play. Like, I genuinely enjoyed watching his hold-up play today. It kind of reminds me of Edward earlier on in the season when, you know, he had the link-up play as well and he actually contributed apart from the goals. And today, I thought Mateta done his job well. Did you hear that, Henry? Or did it cut out?
I didn't catch the last bit, so...
Okay, yeah. What did you make of Mateta's performance?
I thought Mateta had a really good game. I've only complained. I mean, I thought he could have done... I think he had a chance, didn't he, towards the end. And he could have done better with that finish. But, I mean, he worked so hard to hold the ball up. I don't think he did. I think it was one of Mateta's better games, personally. I thought Olise was brilliant on his side of the pitch. He was ripping up whatever his name was on that side of the pitch. It just feels like 2 points dropped more than 1 point a game, which is contrast to last week when obviously
it was. It feels devastating. I think we have improved defensively as a team. It's not as bad ever since the Liverpool game, but it's just like same old. It's another game without a win. I guess we picked up a point against Brighton.
Roy Hodgson complains about being labelled a defensive coach. He wonders why he's labelled as a defensive coach. This is why.
So what did he then? Exactly.
This is
what
why. Example, right? If ever he says that again, I swear to God, I just want to tell him, Roy, you're 1-0 up against Brighton, Palace's biggest game of the season to all our fans, and you just think, let's just sit on it, park the bus. Like, why do you think you're labelled a defensive coach? Because you literally always park the bus at 1-0 up against Brighton. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to work it out, man. The positives are, for me, the performances of Klein, Ozo, Mateta, Lerma, Dean Henderson, you can say he's got another 90 minutes out of the way without getting injured as well.
Yeah. No, I'll be honest, he looked a bit shaky to me.
Ayew took his goal very well. I was very happy about his performance because, he not only did he play his role defensively, but, he wasn't afraid to get stuck in the attack. He's a great header, so I thought maybe Ayew would probably be the man of the match today, but it's just so frustrating because if we just got that 3 points, it would just give us that breathing space.
Yeah,
and now we've gone 11 games without a win. I think it's stupid like that. And we're going to go into the Chelsea game, and I think that game is pretty much, we know what's going to happen, don't we? Pretty much. So we've just got to ride this out and hope to get a win soon, I guess. But it's 100%. Just, I hate it. Roy needs to go.
Yeah, look, Henry, thank you for coming on. Pleasure talking to you, and hopefully after the Chelsea game can be a bit more positive and we can finally get a win, because honestly, I'm forgetting what a win feels like.
Henry,
look, thank you. Have a safe journey.
Henry, Merry Christmas, mate. Take care, right?
Merry Christmas to you, Patrick. Okay.
Okay, that's Henry having his say. Let's bring on Cody next, who's been waiting for a while. Cody, Palace 1, Brighton 1, welcome to the show. What did you make of it? Patrick is not happy. I'm not happy as well. I'm numb. I think that's the best way of describing me. But then again, I don't think it was an awful 90 minutes. I just think it was a poor second half. But for you, how do you see the game?
Wait, Cody, before you start, you're making me out to be the bad guy here. It's not fair. He acting like he's happy about this 1-1 and I'm not happy.
It's not fair. I think it was I'm not happy.
Maybe I have to be a bad guy.
I'm not happy. But then again, I don't think it was an awful performance. I was actually happy at half then, because I thought we were the better side, and we got a goal. But in the second half, the possession changes, the expected goal changes, and Brighton were the dominant side. I think it's a game of two halves.
Yeah, I'm not too happy about the game either. I think a lot of the anger is coming from how Roy set us up in the second half. I do believe that I agree with Patrick. In the second half, we get a goal right before halftime. Why aren't we subbing in, guys to just attack? I mean, you guys, this is Brighton. It's Brighton. This is our rival team. It's either put up or shut up with these guys. And obviously, we didn't put up. We got shut up with a 1-1 draw. But I feel like we should have definitely taken on the attack, been aggressive as soon as we got in the second half, and we didn't. We played Roy ball, sat back, let them just kind of navigate us however they wanted to do. And I was noticing throughout the game, too, that you guys, I didn't see hardly any of us or at any point in time win off a goal kick. Henderson would kick the ball downfield, and Brighton would get it back every single time.
Yeah, I thought that was frustrating. Yeah, let's talk about Henderson, because I'll be honest, I don't think he had a bad performance. I don't know what you think, Patrick, as well. It would be interesting to get your thoughts after Cody. But Henderson, for me, was a bit shaky. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe just me. It was a bit shaky, especially distribution. Distribution seemed off. I'll try and get the stats out in terms of, you know, how his passing stats developed. But I don't think he helped us in the second half as well, because every time we had the ball at the back, we just, I just feel like he just booted it back to them. And we just kept adding on the pressure.
Yeah, he would just boot it back to the center field every time. So, you know, the fourth, fifth time, I mean, Brighton's going to be like, oh, well, we know where he's kicking it now. And they would just surround everybody around Mateta down there. We could never get the ball back. It's just, and I agree with Ozo coming on. I do like Ozo. I think it was a good decision to bring on a physical presence like him in the second half to try to make a statement. But it wasn't a good enough statement. I think we could have had Ahamada or Franca come in just to, you know, push that attack a little more to get that second goal to win this game. I think it's just a lack of being aggressive. I think it's a lack of, you know, we get the first goal. Let's try to sit back and win it. It's just Roy ball at the end of the day. And at me saying that, I think at this point in time, once again, I agree with Patrick. I think even though it's probably not going to happen, but Roy's got to go, because we're not going to see any change at all. We're going to get the same boring Roy ball. Every team's going to expect it. First half, we're going to sit back, defend, and maybe get low. Second half, guess what? Same thing. You know, it's a repetitive thing, and teams, you can tell teams are catching on to it. You could tell Brighton in the second half pushed harder, because it was almost like they knew after we got the goal, we're going to sit back and they're going to have a ton of these chances, which they did. And Danny Welbeck, you know, gets a really good header. Fair play to him. But it's just, we're so predictable at this point.
Yeah.
We got to get somebody else in there that can make unpredictable changes. Like last week, Roy, for once in his life that I've seen, actually made an unpredictable change by putting on Franca, Ahamada, Ozo, and it made a difference in the game. Well, guess what? We didn't get anywhere this game because of that, because the lack of him trying to be aggressive to make change.
Preach, Cody, man. Preach, bro.
So,
preach,
dude. So, and you said that Roy has to go. When, what do you think it will take for him to actually go? Do you believe that if we lose against Chelsea, he will go? Because I just don't see it happening, Cody.
That's the problem. See, that's where the problem lies. He's not going to go. He's just not. He's going to stick around until summertime. I mean, maybe if we are trying to go for Cooper and he's gone, maybe we try to snatch him up before another team does and he might go. But that's the only scenario I see him even leave. If that doesn't happen, we're we're stuck with him pretty much.
I disagree, gentlemen. If we don't beat Chelsea or Brentford, that will be 13 games that a win. He can't survive 13 winless matches. He can't.
It's a double standard
that even Parrish can't handle. I'm sorry. There's no way. That's We don't win.
Wait, that is wild.
Chelsea or Brentford. Hold on. He's gone. He has to go.
Without a win, that's nearly like, we're approaching half a season. We're not that far off. Like 13 games, what, half a season, 19? That's wild. Like 13 games without a win. Well, but Cody, would you be happy with Cooper if Roy was to go? Of course, there's no indication that he's going to go anytime soon right now. But would you be happy with that?
Well, that's the other problem that lies. No, I mean he didn't do good with Nottingham, and it's just like, well, why do you want to bring somebody on that, first off, wants to spend money on players? I mean, obviously, we don't do that. So the sense there is there's none. So if it were me as Parrish, I would go out and try to find somebody maybe outside the box. But realistically, I know that's not going to happen. We're probably going to get stuck with Cooper, or heck, we might even get stuck with Southgate. Who knows? We don't know. But
jeez. Yeah.
So just
either way, it's like we gotta find someone.
Just to clarify, we've got one win in 11. If we don't beat Chelsea or Brentford, that's one in 13. One win in 13.
Yeah, it wasn't one in 13 before.
It's one of 11 right as of today. We've got one win.
It's one still of like one in 11 is still crazy in itself. Like one win in 11 games, it's just. It's crazy. And maybe that's why I'm numb, because I'm like, I'm so used to this feeling. It's like,
I think that's what it is. Yeah, you're definitely. You're like,
you're
punch drunk, bro. Like, you're punch drunk.
I'm used to this. At this point, I don't know how to celebrate a win.
How many games was it since we got a home win? What was that? How many games was it for since we've gotten a home win?
Oh,
September 3rd.
Find that out.
September 3rd versus Burnley.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Hold on, what?
September 3rd.
That's the last home win.
The Wolves game. That was our last home win. So that's
count. I need to one, check that because surely not.
Three,
nah,
four, five, six, seven, eight. It's eight now without a win.
Yeah, that's
it's Wolves. Go look, bro. Why would I wouldn't lie to you, bro. I wouldn't lie to you. It's Wolves.
Yeah, you're right. Damn, that come is on, crazy.
Man. Is that not fireball? Come on, man. Come on.
That's needed 4 months. We're approaching 4 months.
And that goes back to me saying earlier. You have to be aggressive. You have to be aggressive to get a home win. Especially, you know how insane it would have been if we were gotten a home win tonight against Brighton? Finally get a home win and against our rivals? You're talking about...
That's what I'm saying. At home, you've got to have a different mindset. I get the away mindset. I get sit back, low block, Man City. I get it. I get it. But against Brighton at home,
it's Brighton. You have
to play more aggressive, man. I get. And it's not like it's Brighton with everybody fit. They had 9 injured players. They haven't kept a clean sheet all season.
Which is crazy.
Come on.
We can't beat them with 9 players out. It's like, come on, man. Like, what are we really doing, Roy? You know, 9 players injured. Half their defense is injured. Both their fullbacks are gone. Why aren't we attacking with France, Elise, and everybody else? You know,
that's crazy, bro. I need to. I'm still trying to process.
Third of the season.
We're approaching. Well, it depends on Brentford, but we're approaching about nearly like 4 months without a win at home. I didn't realize it was that bad. Like, I can't remember the last time we won at home. I don't even remember the Wolves game. It was so long ago. I don't remember how we won. Like, I genuinely don't remember that game at all. Because a lot has happened since then, which is crazy. But Cody, before you go, Chelsea game, any changes that you would make?
Yeah, I would highly suggest, Roy, you need to change it up, buddy. It's got to change. We need to start the creative players and have them all in at once. None of this subbing in and off. For once, I would love to see us actually be the ones threatening downfield rather than sitting back at the beginning of the game, because it's just like I said, it's just boring in the first half. The teams know what we're doing. We need to show a change in aggression that say, hey, we're done with this. Let's go get 3 or 4 goals. And if we don't get it, at least show that we're trying, you know, or something. Yeah. Because if we do that against Chelsea, they haven't been, you know, too they've been hot and cold all season. But I mean, they've got some ballers over there. And if we sit back on Chelsea at their house, we don't have a shot, guys. I honestly do believe that.
Yeah. It's not going to be easy, but let's see. Let's see what happens. Look, Cody, pleasure talking to you. Hope you catch up with me again soon.
Cody, pleasure, man. Happy holidays, buddy.
Take care.
You too, buddy. Take care. Merry Christmas.
Also, people, if you're enjoying the stream, there's over 160 of you here. We're on your 61 likes. Come on. We can hit 150, 100%. It takes a second of your time. Like, subscribe if you're new here. If you want to join us, I'll be posting a link once again once we go through the guests to make sure we have enough time. So you can join us live and we'll go through some of the comments as well. But yeah, look, a lot of people are not happy. People are saying that Palace are cheap in terms of our approach. And yeah, people are angry once again at the board and the ownership. And I went to the game with someone today and I was talking to him on the way back. It's the ownership. I mean, how do you expect the club to be at the levels it should be if it's not run properly? What club?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is out there. Like, you can have the best manager in the world, but look at clubs like United and, you know, Chelsea's, and they spent about $1 billion, but they're not run properly. You have to be run properly at the top, and for us, I think we've got problems there. Let's go to Tim next. Tim, Palace 1, Brighton won. Apparently, nearly now we're approaching about 4 months without a home win, which I didn't know was the case. But what was your assessment of the game today?
It was tough. It's hard to watch. And I have not been Roy out, but I get the argument for it. And I think the reason I'll be honest, there's two reasons I haven't been Roy out. The one, and one of them is directly my bias towards, like, financially, it's just better for us. If we think that we can get to the summer and then make a change, it is better for us. So I'm just going to put that out there. That's not a commentary on how we're playing right now. I'd prefer if we thought we could do that, right? And there's a lot of comments that, like, we can't afford that. We can't wait. We have to make a move. So fair enough. So that, I mean, it's disappointing to watch. And I thought that at the beginning of the second half, D, we were still like 5 yards higher. Like in the first half, we were playing much higher, like probably 5 to 10 yards higher, pushing in and pushing them back. It was not a hard press, but we're pushing them back. They may be getting in passing lanes, making it very difficult for them to get out. And that was great to watch. It was fun to watch. I very much enjoyed that. And then for the beginning of the second half, we started with that. And then we kind of backed off a little bit. And then once Welbeck gets his goal, which is very well taken, to be fair. I mean, it is a good head. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, but it's a good goal. And then we do back off. So the other reason I've not been immediately Roy out is because I couldn't tell whether or not the players had given up on him. And I'm still not sure they've given up on him. Not nearly as much as fans, we've given up on him. And that's the struggle for me, guys. I can't argue that the play is turgid at times. Like, I can't disagree with anything that I'm hearing. Like, you know, Patrick, you make really good points. Like, it's not like we played brilliant. That's not what happened here. And Cody was just pointing out, and he ain't wrong. Like, we did invite Brighton to come on to us. And that last 20 minutes was super frustrating because we couldn't keep the damn ball. That is so difficult. That is so hard.
You know what it is? In possession, I've said as well, in possession, that's our strong point. It isn't. Like, we just have to, somehow, we just have to give the ball to Elise or Eze, one of our great players, and they have to just be in a one-on-one situation. And in the second half, when we were pinned back, in tight space in possession, and we just kept giving the ball away. It's just not a strong point under Roy. I don't think we're well coaching that area. There's elbow areas on the pitch that we're good at, but on the ball, we're just not. We've lost that from... That's one thing we were good at under Vieira, I thought, but we've lost that. Vieira, we couldn't attack. We just looked clueless in attack. But under Hodgson now, it's different. But look, Tim, you have said that you're not Hodgson out, and you don't think the players have...
Well, I may be changing my opinion there, D. I'm not sure. I for the first time, I'm struggling a little bit. I know why I would like Roy to stay. I would like to be able to have a transition in the summer. I would like to be able to get through to that. Just like I hated that we couldn't see it out with Patrick Vieira. This is not the Patrick Vieira show. I loved him as our coach. I so badly wanted to see him succeed. And so it hurt when he was gone and then Roy comes back. So I'd like to be able to see it through. But D, I'm honestly, for the first time, I'm wondering. I'm honestly, and I don't like that I'm wondering, but I am. This is like the first time.
Do you think... You know, you're wondering for the first time, but it doesn't make sense when you look at the win stats. I mean, we haven't won a game at home since the 3rd of September.
I think
we're about to go into 2024, which is crazy because I honestly didn't think it was that bad. You know what makes me laugh
that's
more?
That's the clearest argument.
I know they apologize after, but the fact that only a few weeks ago he said that we're spoiled, which was hilarious now that I didn't realize we won since September. Yeah. And then, you know, one win in 11 as well. Do you think, like, even those who believe in Roy, who hasn't lost, you know, that say that Roy hasn't lost a place, which I don't think he has. I don't think he's lost a place completely. I don't think he has. Maybe some individuals he might have. But I think if he did lose a place, I think Parrish would have sacked him. I don't think he's completely lost all the players yet.
I don't think he has it all, D. I don't think the dressing room is dire. It doesn't look like that to me. But I will say this: like, the best argument you can make, which you were just kind of making, is what's the equivalent here? When Vieira just could not buy a win and our form was not improving, well, then we sacked him. And if we can't win,
our run right now is worse than Vieira's.
Right. That is the clearest thing. Like, if you're gonna make that argument, right? So, like, I'm not gonna deny facts in front of my face, right? Like, if we did it with a previous manager and we could not get results, and so here we are, and we are struggling to get the results we need, and we are behind on points. So if we lose at Chelsea, right? If we lose at Chelsea, that'll be week 19. At that point last season, we were at 22 points. We lost to Chelsea.
We were
on 22 points. We're on 18 right now. So if we stay there, we'd be 4 points back, and we'd roughly be in the same goal differential we were last season. So
right.
Here's the thing, D. I like him. I would like to be able to get through and make a real transition in the summer. That's better for the club if we could do it. If we can't do it, then we can't do it. But go ahead, Patrick.
But Tim, I disagree. And I would have said you're right about waiting to the summer, because I'm so done with him. Another 19 or 20 game watching this nonsense. I've done it for 50 years. I can do it, you know, with Palace. But Steve Cooper's out there. And I know for a fact, Dougie and Parrish love Cooper. I'll get to that in a second. Like I said, Dougie and Parrish love him. Now, I've had a discussion with D. I don't have a problem with Cooper. All right. So this is the deal. I'm very big on young players, right? And I know I watched, and D's gonna make fun of me. He won the Under-17 World Cup with Foden, Gibbs White, Gaye.
With Gaye.
Sancho.
Gaye loves him.
Gaye loves him. Gallagher's on that team, okay? That's the positive. He had Gaye at Swansea. Did well. Yep. He took over a Forest team that was in the relegation zone, gone to the playoffs, gone promoted, and kept them up. Everyone to say, oh, well, he spent a lot of money. You're right, he did, but he still kept them up. All right.
I'm going to challenge that. Finish your point, but I'm going to challenge that point. He didn't spend money.
Say again?
He didn't spend that money. Oh, that
the
was
owner,
forced,
you're right. The owner did.
That was
you're
forced right. on him by the owners.
And that's something I was going to fight. I was going to get to that. And I thought I was going to bounce back with the fact that people want to talk about how he spent money. He didn't. The owner did. They bought a lot of players. A lot of them he didn't even want.
Right.
So my point is, I do rate Cooper. I like the fact he's adaptable. If you watch him tactically, he will change it up. He played 3 at the back sometimes, 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1. I like him. He's young. England are looking at him after the current manager now. So because he's been set up for, like I said, as a youth manager. So. And again, I'm at the point, where I'm at the point anybody but Hudson. So I'm a little skewed on that point, but I know for a fact that since the ownership likes Cooper, I take a chance on him. He's not my ideal choice, honestly. He's better than Paddy McCarthy, and that's the next choice. And he's better than Gareth Southgate, in my opinion. So I would take Cooper and take a chance on him because, again, they would quote-unquote back him because they like him. So we're there.
I was going to ask you, Tim. You said that you're losing faith in Roy. How many games do you think he's got then?
Well, I don't know that I'm losing faith in Roy, but I can see I have eyes. I watch games. I can read the stats. I can see where we're at. So I do. I don't know, D. And my vision of this was I wanted to get to January and be on a minimum of 20 points, knowing that we were on our way to 40. And if we could get a healthy squad, get back in January, start using some youth, and then reassess, that would have been okay with me. But the where we're at now is you got some real toxicity here. I mean, we're talking about it now, and it's flowing into the stands. Players haven't answered questions. Roy's haven't answered questions. It's not really going great. It's hard to watch. And that is verifiably a game. Like, I think we all agree that Brighton, as good as that lot can be, they were there for the taking today. They were.
Yeah.
We know. We all know that. We could see it. Yeah. And the first half demonstrated that. So then what is it? Do we don't have the legs to push up and go after them in the second half because we don't have the depth? Is that it? Is it tactics? Is it both? What is it? Because that was a game that was begging to be killed off.
I want to quickly, this is a very important quote, people. As always, if you're enjoying it, people, smash the like button. It takes a second of your time and subscribe as well. Thank you to every single one of you that's already done it. Really appreciate you all. Joachim Maddison, after the game, said the following, which I think is quite significant. He said, "We have creative players. We need to play them, and hopefully they can score and create chances. We have Francois on the bench. You saw last game he did some amazing stuff."
Wow.
That is, I don't know. Significant from a player to talk about, you know, oh, we need to play our creative players.
I saw that interview too.
What do you make from that?
So hearing that, D, that does so that's different. So let's see what Matt Woosnam says, because if that's an indication that Roy is frustrating the players, then I think verifiably that's the end of it, because that's what ended up for anytime you are frustrating the players and they don't think they disagree and they're just not, you know, they're not following the manager, then that's the end of it. Game over.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
That doesn't look good. So I guess we have to get the rest of the context. And I'm in this game. I could easily,
of course, but I think it's very. I just don't know why you would say all those things. Like I think bigger than context. I think you don't really, I don't know, me personally, I don't, based on what he said, it's quite of a large quote. It's not just, oh, we have France on the bench. You saw last game, he did some amazing stuff. If he just said that, then I'd say, all right, fair enough, get context. But the fact that he said, we have creative players, we need to play them, and hopefully they can score and create chances. We have France on the bench. You saw last game, he did some amazing stuff. I think that's quite significant and a long enough quote to realize that he just simply wants to see some of these players play. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I am. There's a lot I can put up with because I am a fan of Crystal Palace Football Club. You know, I mean, Patrick has got this right. So I mean, look, there's a lot I can put up with, and yet I can't disagree that there are legitimate frustrations and questions here, and I don't let the board off the hook either. I am definitely not. I think it's crazy to call for Parrish out. I have not backed off on that one, D. But I would.
He's
I will
definitely
say,
Parrish out. By the way,
what's that?
He's definitely Parrish out. Might be.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need a change in ownership. Just complete. I don't think it's just healthy right now.
I agree. Like the two things get to at the same time here, D. I think the ownership structure needs some serious help. But I'm definitely not Parrish out. Having said that, it's totally on this depth problem. That is 1,000,000%.
I wouldn't mind Parrish staying at the club as having some type of role, but not as an owner. I think we just need one owner and Parrish can, you know, stay on board. I just, this golden share nonsense and all of this and that, I just think it just needs to change.
We're never going to agree on that one, D. Because, and the reason for it is because I have seen it too many times. If having a sugar daddy owner that can do anything, I'm sorry. Unless it's God help us, you know, they have a benevolent dictator in Tony Bloom. So they've lucked out in that sense. Most football clubs don't get that. I doubt we would get that. And so I am, nah, that is not for me. But having said all that, like the latest report I heard, and then let me get out of the way so other people can get in. The latest report I heard is that in January, the Henderson deal was extra cash. In other words, that wasn't cash that was going to go somewhere else to a striker that got diverted. That's extra cash. That deal became available to us and we took it. So if that's true, prove it. Prove it. Show me then in January, if that's real and we just had the cash.
What do you mean by extra cash? I'm a bit confused.
Meaning that we were targeting Ekitike. Meaning that we were literally targeting Ekitike and we were willing to spend the money, had the money, had a deal, and it fell through. So it's not that we did Henderson and didn't do Ekitike. I thought that's what it was. Instead of doing a deal that would really help us, like a right back or a striker, no, that money is still there. We just didn't get a deal done in time. So if that's true, show me something in January, even if it's a loan to buy. I mean, if that's true, great. Show me. We need depth. But Tim, show me.
But Tim, I mean, we had a discussion probably the last time we were on, but let's be serious again, right? Let's say we get lucky and get Ekitike. Roy's not going to play him for at least 6-7 games if we're lucky. We're back to where we are anyway. We have players on the bench today that are created that he could have brought on. He hasn't played Michael Eboué, who, by the way, been on the bench, I think, for like 7 straight matches, has not seen a single minute on the pitch.
Yeah, he can't get a sniff, can he? Yeah.
He can't get a sniff. Don't tell me that kid's not creative, because he is.
Yeah.
You've got the France and the Hamlet thing. So Etiquette would be a great pickup, but what would be the point under Hodgson when he's not going to play him?
Maybe he will play. Maybe he could have
We are going to have another manager, though.
I'm saying that, D, maybe he will. Show me the instance of when he played a player that he's actually bought.
Today, he brought an Ozo, which was a surprise, I think.
Listen to what I just said. You're hearing what you want to hear. Of a player that we bought, not a youth player. I can give you every time. I can give you Mitchell. I can give you, you know, Juan Basak. I can give you Ozo. Give me a player we bought under Hodgson that he's played, whose name is not Eberechi Eze. Name him. Name the player that we bought under him that we played. Who?
I'm too. I need to look at it. I'm too tired right now to even think.
Anybody in chat?
Telling me he hasn't played any players that we bought under Hodgson. That's not. That can't be true. Mateta's playing.
I'm asking. Who? That was under Hodgson. Oh my god. You know how long you kept Mateta in the dark for when we had him that first game?
He
didn't pay for like 15 matches.
Well, let me give you one. Let me give you one, Patrick. I'll give you one. I mean, he hasn't been great recently, and he had bad and good moments today. But Richards, it took him a while. But he's playing him now. He's playing
him.
He didn't buy him. But I know your point.
I see what you mean.
I'm just trying to be fair.
How many
I know
he's
definitely
on even here right now. I don't even know. We didn't
Ebs
buy that.
Ebs is the big one.
How did this guy do? How did Max Beyer do under him?
Yeah.
I mean, Max Beyer right now.
No, that's
a good point.
You can talk about but back then. He was rated highly. I get he's not doing anything now. That's fair. But when we bought him, he was the captain of the German team, Olympic final against Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
He was highly rated. Don't tell me what.
Sure.
He didn't play him. I didn't play Victor Camarasa as well. So yeah,
and Camarasa didn't get a sniff. But anyway,
then again, it's on owners. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the right answer or the wrong answer. I don't know. Like, we still have to buy another forward, whether he plays him or not. We still go out there buying another.
This is a fact right here. All right. That is right. That's all there is.
That's yeah. Lerma. He's playing Lerma. So yeah, that's a reason as well. That we got under Hodgson.
No, it's a good point.
That's true. Even if we bought him before Hodgson came in, you're right about that. Lerma would be a true. Yeah, Lerma came in. Boy, was well. You're right. Lerma. Thank you in the chat. You're right. Lerma is definitely my thank you.
Look, Tim, there's other guests. We'll rotate. And
we got to get out of the way, man. You guys are. All right, cool. It's a tough one. Soon, yeah. But
Tim, take care, man.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, guys.
Take care. You too, my friend. See you later.
Take care, right? See you next year.
See you next year. Might be on like next week. Let's talk games.
Got games this season? Wait, we got Chelsea. So I already meant.
We still got games. See you next year.
No more games.
He's probably going to be back in like a few days.
This is my last game of the year. How about that? I'll see you next year. How about that?
Yeah. Let me bring on Kenny. Hopefully, he can turn on his camera. He's been waiting for a while. Kenny, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
How you doing? You all right?
Yes, I'm doing fine. Happy Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you.
Same to you, Kenny. Have Merry Christmas, my friend.
Palace won, Brighton won. Well, how do you see the game?
I just see the game as Crystal Palace don't know what they're doing. Starting from the owners to the players, none of them know what they're doing. How can you play good in the first half and then against the second half, zero shots in the second half? That is so poor of a team like that. If you want to do well this season, you need to be taking your chances and don't allow other teams to get back into the game. I just think Mateta, he did well, but for me, it's a crap striker. Ayew is not good. Edward is not good. There's no one in the attacking force that is good at Crystal Palace this season. For me, I think Crystal Palace needs to find somebody that can score goals. Since the days of Clint Morris and Andrew Johnson, Glenn Murray, no one has been able to score since then. I think Crystal Palace has been going down the drain for strikers. And the problem is here, if Crystal Palace don't fix up, I think they will struggle again this season. They will struggle and they'll be fighting relegation. The only good thing for Crystal Palace is that the teams below them, like Sheffield United, Luton and Bournemouth, they are not as good. That's the only thing that's escaping Crystal Palace. If them team was good, Crystal Palace would not even be where they are right now. They'll be in the relegation position right now. And for me, I think enough is enough now. Roy Austin, just say good. Even tonight, just say goodbye tonight and let somebody be there for the rest of the season, and then in the summer get a proper manager, but someone that knows how to play football, because playing defensive football all this season is just crap. That's why these days I don't watch Crystal Palace anymore. I only watch it at home. I don't go to the stadium anymore because I know what I'm going to see. It's the same every season, same position every season. We're not progressing. That's why I left. Because just imagine if Crystal Palace was in Europa Conference League, Zaha would still be in Crystal Palace today. He left because he wants a new challenge. He's tried for the club for several years, but nothing else. There's no ambition in the club. That's the problem. No ambition. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You did say that Hodgson needs to go. If Hodgson was to go, would you be happy with Cooper coming into the club?
No, I wouldn't want Steve Cooper. For now, to the end of the season, I will put Paddy McCaffrey there to the end of the season for now, and then end of the season get the correct manager. Don't just get anybody in there, get the correct manager. Don't get another manager that will be playing crap football, boring football, because we want good football. We want Crystal Palace to progress. We don't want somebody that will put you two steps backwards again, because every season is the same thing that I'm watching every season. Look how many managers Crystal Palace has had since so many years now. Under the parish, so many managers you've had. And we can't just be changing managers every time. We need a stable manager that knows what they're doing. And if the club are ambitious that don't move forward, they need a proper, better manager.
Yeah. I agree. I think there needs to be some kind of change. But in terms of the performance today, what do you think changed in the second half? Comparison to the first half, because I think it was first half and second half performance just completely different.
What changed in the second half is like the team just didn't know what to do, because how can you play well in the first half and second half and don't have no shots on goal in second half, zero shots on goal in second half? That was poor. Because how can you be playing defensive in the second half? Because how many games now have you watched? I've seen Crystal Palace score more than one goal. Score two or three goals. It hasn't happened. Even if they win their match, it's by 1-0, or something like that. They don't win by more goals this season. I think this season, the team are not playing for their fans. They're not playing. They're just playing for themselves. That's what I see this season.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson made a comment after the game about playing younger players and creative players as well, which is not really good look on Roy Hodgson. When do you think, because you're not a fan of Roy, but when do you think you will get sacked? What do you think it will be the drawing line? Is it loss against Chelsea, or do you think it needs to be more than that?
For me, I think if he lose or draw against Chelsea, I think it's time up. Because you don't want to be in the middle of the relegation place and relegation places and trying to get the points back at the almost the second half of the season, because I don't see Crystal Palace buying anybody this season and in the general transfer window, and even if they do, it would be either a loan signing or something. That's what will happen. It wouldn't be someone exciting that will come in to score the goals, because I'm happy that Ayew scored today, but Ayew is not a striker for me that's going to score goals for you, because now in January Ayew will be leaving to go to African Nations Cup. If he leaves, who else is there now to replace Ayew? Then there's no one there.
Answer, hopefully.
And then the problem is I don't know why Roy Austin is so stubborn to play Franca, to play all the young boys. Amada, why is he leaving them on the pitch? What's the point of why did they even travel if they're going to play them? What's the point of them bringing the team? They could have rather been in your house. It's better to be in your house than coming to the team, just sit on the bench and never playing, because it's a shame.
I think we've got next few games is going to be massive. It's going to be massive. But look, Kenny, look, thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
Take care, Kenny. Thanks for coming on.
Take care. See you later.
Take care.
You too. Okay, that was Kenny. Let's bring on... I think that's it for now. I think that's it. We're gonna wrap up anyways. Look, Patrick... We got Chelsea next. I'll be honest, I've not looked that far ahead. You said Chelsea halfway up to Brentford. You've got Chelsea away from home, and then we've got Brentford on the 30th. So we've got two more games before 2024. Realistically, if we don't have any wins in the next two, now that Cooper's gone and we know that Cooper's highly rated by the board, do you think Hodgson gets a sack?
No, I'd like him to get the
sack. That'd be 13 games without a win, though. Well, not 13 games without a win. Well, 1 in 13.
I hope he's gone come the new year, but I just know that Parrish has got a double standard. He'll keep him 13 matches, 14, 15. He'll keep him, as long as we're in the relegation zone, which shows he's got a double standard with Vieira in the whole situation last year. So it is what it is. But listen, I remember listening to, you were talking about it too. I was listening to, what's his name again? Pardew was on TalkSport a couple of weeks ago. He talked about when he had that bad one, you know, how... Parrish Quinlan spoke about exactly how the games were important. At this point, surely Parrish has gone into Hodgson and told him, listen, you got to win one of the next two matches or you're gone, because we've never had this bad of a run under any other manager, and that manager survived. I mean, obviously, you just look at, De Boer, 7 matches, obviously, he was gone. Hodgson never had when Hodgson's first time here, didn't have anything like this. Pardew did and got canned. Pulis and Allardyce never had this kind of a run. Clearly, Vieira again. To me, the matches when the Vieira was so much harder. He didn't have a Bournemouth. He didn't have a Luton to play, a Sheffield United, whatever.
Yeah, so, I think that's what makes it worse. Everton. People are now talking about the difficulty of games, but it's about the games that we didn't win as well. Do you get it? Like, okay, we have Chelsea, but then again, Chelsea are not doing that well. So there is a bit more expectation. I know it's Chelsea, but they're not that great. And then, you know, you got Brentford, who are also not doing that great so far this season. But on top of that, I mean, we didn't beat Luton. Everton was a struggle at home. We can see 3 goals against them at home. I know they've been doing well recently, but you have to win some of these games. You can't just say, oh, it's difficult games. We had Liverpool, Man City. Well, we had the other games and we still didn't win. So we had both sides of it. It's like, at what point do you say enough is enough? Because, I mean, how many games?
This is interesting, right? Barry says, players always have a bad run every season. But someone said in the chat, this is like a third of the season. This is not like a few matches. We haven't won a game at home since September. This is not like, okay, a bad run. This is really, really bad. I mean, like I said, Vieira had it last year, but under tougher matches. But I'm just going to think before him, the Bulls was probably like the worst one, the seven game start to the season without a win. I mean, we don't have really runs of like 10 matches without a win. And we're getting close to that now, D. And that stuff, you can't survive that, man. You cannot survive that. But you're right. I mean, these next two matches, man, are going to be pivotal. I can't see him not winning one of these two and staying. I just don't see it. But we'll see. I mean,
yeah.
And by the way, this is, you know, you could say that all you want, Palace fan, but the first comment is not true, and they did not turn on him. And I know that for a fact. All right, I know for a fact that the players went into the parish said they loved him. It wasn't about him; it was about other factors that got him fired. It was not about him being losing the players. So you say that, but it's not based on any kind of fact. Trust me. But it is what it is. Vieira's gone. We have Hodgson. Let's just see what happens next. Because
the fact that we still talk about Vieira is boring in itself, but it just gets mentioned because it's the comparison, right? It's just comparison because we got rid of Vieira for what? And then we're back in this position, and it's not great either. So it's a case of like, cool, we lost Vieira, but I mean, if Anderson's coming out after the game saying that we should be playing France, which is quite shocking to me. As fans we could say, but you don't really see a senior player talking about, oh, great, players should play. France had a good game, maybe he should came out. That itself is shocking as well. That doesn't give a good sign that he's not got good. Every player on board. I don't think he's lost his dressing completely, but I think some players are just had enough. I think some players have had enough, and maybe Anderson could be one of them. But look, we got Chelsea coming up next. Of course, we'll do some content maybe before then, because of course we've got a holiday as well. So we'll see if we can fit in a preview or not. But thanks to every single one of you that's joined us live today for this show. Make sure to hit a like if you haven't already done so, and also subscribe to not miss our future Palace content. Thanks to everyone who joined us live in the comment section and also by clicking on the link. That's it from me and Patrick. Keep safe, people, and until next time, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.